drawing a crowd. Every babe's gonna want a piece of me. Yeah. I stare into the mirror. I like the things I see.
Yes, yes, yes.
Woo, woo, woo.
Woo, woo, woo. How's it going out there? Welcome back, or welcome first timers. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And yes, you're in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
You know it. I'm just on like this total Zack Ryder kick.
Total Zack Ryder kick. That's what the song is from, isn't it?
Kick to the head.
Kick to what? The broski boot.
is what they want to call that.
So how's everything going, Carolyn? Everything keeping alive now? Brand new episode. For you guys who don't know, my name is Joe, and over there across the way is Carolyn. And this is our entranceway. This is the doorway. This is the window, if you say. This is... You know, this is our way of sharing
our
yeah. This is what we do.
You're trying to look for some metaphor.
I don't know. It could be.
It's
it
our
could.
Vision,
it could be. It
our
could be.
Window,
it could be pretty much anything you'd ever want.
Life.
But yeah, made by Stray Productions, sponsored by Curl's Studio. This is our podcast, and this is our gift to you. This is us. Welcome. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going well.
What news do we have coming up?
All right. Well, we did just come back this past weekend. We had an event. It was the book signing for Team Cul-de-Sac.
Cool.
The book has finally come out. It's awesome. And the auction ended, and the numbers came in, and it was almost $50,000 for Parkinson's research.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money. A lot of people contributed. The book looks really great. You can go on Amazon and find it. It's called Team Cul-de-Sac. And I think right now on Amazon, it's only like $16, which is basically half price.
That's a steal.
Yeah, I know. It is. I paid $30 for mine. You can get it for $16 on Amazon.
There you go.
And we're also going to have another book signing. It's on July 11th. And it's going to be at Politics and Prose in D.C.
How was the book signing?
I thought it was pretty marvelous.
I guess if you guys been paying attention to my my Instagramming, my newest addiction... You can follow me at a Stray J. I was Instagramming that event, but Carolyn was there. She was signing.
How was that? I probably signed the most I have consecutively signed in like a 2-hour span. Like I seriously probably, I know that they sold out of all 75 books they had at the store.
Yeah.
They ordered 75 books specifically for this event.
That's a lot of books to have on hand too.
And it sold out during the first hour. So the whole, like, you know, second hour that we were signing, like, I guess people that came in,
yeah,
they didn't even have the opportunity. They're, you know, you snooze, you lose. You're too late to get a book. But I must have signed over 100 because even afterwards, people were having us sign, like, regular cul-de-sac books by Richard Thompson. For those of you that don't know or didn't tune in, I guess we might have talked about this last week, but just to keep you up in speed, cul-de-sac is a newspaper comic strip by Richard Thompson, and he won the Reuben Award for Cartoonist of the Year last year, so that was 2011.
Yeah.
And he unfortunately has Parkinson's disease, and a whole bunch of cartoonists got together, so we made our own tribute to cul-de-sac, and it's called Team Cul-de-sac Cartoonists Draw the Line at Parkinson's. And all the money is going towards Parkinson's or certain percentages based on wherever you order the book from. Like, say, for example, if you order it on Amazon, you know, obviously that money is going to majority go to Amazon.
Go to Amazon, yeah.
But, you know, there's obviously other fees about, like, publishing and all that.
Yeah.
Behind-the-scenes stuff. But a portion of part of the book sales is going to Parkinson's research. And if you ordered the book directly from Chris Sparks, who was the editor and organized the whole project.
Yeah.
Like, I guess a greater percentage went to Parkinson's. And then most of the funds from the auction, the original art from the book, was also sold last week. So that was what I was saying about the almost $50,000. That was from the auction.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like a great cause, and even like Richard Thompson was there, and Chris Sparks was there.
You know,
the book signing this past weekend.
One of the first things I noticed when we both arrived at the bookstore, and that, like, I don't know, for me it was a big surprise, but it was a madhouse. Where was this signing taking place?
One Page Books and More in Arlington, Virginia.
A pretty amazing bookstore too. They don't buy the crap. It's really one of those bookstores
that you think in your imagination of like how a bookstore should be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like just junk lying around in piles like how sometimes you might see at like other bookstores with like the price tags having like five different price tags on it because they're just trying to get it off the shelf, like lower and lower, and like books for $4 or something, yeah. Like, or just books out in the street. They're like, take them, like border style. I guess that's why they went out of business. But this bookstore is like nice, and like it just feels warm and cozy, and you want to read a book just by walking in.
And it was first a challenge for me to look around because, you know, I want to take that moment to look around the books they had around there, but it was impossible because it was jam packed with people, and I was like, whoa, this is going nuts. It was literally like a hurricane of madness, and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
To begin with, it's not like a huge bookstore anyway. It's pretty small. It's on the small side of things. And then just to like think about like 75 plus people there, like,
well, there's more than 75 plus people.
Well, because also another,
those are books sold, but like,
yeah,
a lot of people could have brought their own books as well.
I know there are people that brought their own books that already had the book from like another, you know, they must have got it somewhere else, or maybe they ordered it directly from Chris Sparks. But yeah, like, because it felt like over 100. Because
yeah.
Even some people were like, just sign my piece of paper. Like, you know, like, they're like, the book sold out. So, you know, that was pretty interesting. And, like, there was food. I didn't get to eat much food, though. I was, like, concentrating.
It's tough because when I saw you were just nonstop, like, signing left and right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a couple times where I might have got, like, a 5-second break. But it wasn't, like, a real big break. Because as soon as, like, I would, like, basically look like I don't have anything to sign, somebody else would like plop a book in my face.
Here, sign like, this.
Sign this. So that was pretty awesome though, because usually at conventions, like I mean I never really have like that big of a line, like in those terms of like I never have like 75 people going around the corner like waiting for me. But there might be like every 10 minutes, you know, you get a customer.
Yeah.
Or every few minutes. So you do have some downtime during conventions, but with this it was just like a non-stop signing for 2 hours plus. Which is interesting. Like I can't say I've ever done that before, but I enjoyed it. Like I'm excited about the Politics and Prose book signing on July 11th because like a whole bunch of people were like, that one's going to be more bigger. So it's going to be.
So that's when the next sign is going to be. Is when?
July 11th.
Give us these dates. What are these tour dates? We'll include that with the tour date.
Okay, we'll go through a list of tour dates.
Let's do it. Let's have it.
Let's on get July this going. 7th.
July 7th.
Southern Maryland Comic Con.
Southern Maryland Comic Con.
And guess who's going to be there?
Is it the hardcore legend Mick Foley?
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Yo, Mick, check out the guns.
He will be there.
That was you? Check out the guns.
And then on July 8th. I'm going to be at the DC Jewish Community Center for Comics in the District panel. Apparently, I don't know too much about it, but I know Matt Dembicki is going to be there, and we're going to be talking with local creators. And if I find out more, I'll let you know.
That's right.
All right, July 11th, like we said, was the Team Cul-de-Sac at Politics and Prose. And then on July 28th, there will be the DC Zine Fest, which we just talked with Rusty and Joe of Full Sanction, and they will be there also.
Yeah.
And September 8th and 9th, we have Baltimore Comic Con. September 15th and 16th, Small Press Expo. And on October 27th, Annapolis Comic Con. So that's our rundown of confirmed dates that we will be at this year.
Nice.
So, Joe, I have a question for you.
Is this a real question from you? Or is this actually going to be a question? Is this viewer mail?
Do you want to do viewer mail now?
I actually want to start because usually... Because that's, you know...
Usually we just do it at the last
Yeah,
like,
usually
minute.
We do it at the very end. Let's start the show with viewer mail. I'd love to start the show with viewer mail. Is that actually the question that you were about to ask me, or is that a separate question? I'd answer any question.
Sure. I'm just going to mess with Al, because you know how he, like, he always sends in questions like almost every week.
Wait, but did you have a question for me, or is this part of viewer mail?
I can have a question for you.
Sure, or whatever. Whatever you want, I'll answer that.
Let me think of something off the top of my head.
Because that's actually the most dangerous thing someone can do, is ask me a question. Because you know what? I'm not allowed to lie. So I'll give you the honest answer. The honest answer straight off the top of my head. The first thing that comes to my head, that's usually what I'm going to say.
Honesty is the best policy.
Sure, whatever. or it's a curse. Either way, it works.
What do you think is the most underrated musical instrument?
The most underrated musical instrument?
Yes.
Out of all
that's
instruments?
That's my question for you.
Out of all... This is not part of your mail. This is Carolyn mail, yeah. Right? The Carolyn mail
it's
question?
My question for you.
What is, in my opinion, in Joe's opinion, as Mr. Bandit's opinion, what is the most underrated musical instrument?
Yes.
I would say... Well, first, what does underrated stand for?
Something,
so we can clarify this, and I can't just bumble fuck that way.
At least in my definition, it would mean something that you get a lot of benefit out of that never gets respect.
So it's like it's the Dolph Ziggler of
I don't know if I would say Dolph Ziggler, but like
it's the cane. Is it the cane?
I mean, we always kind of say cane, but that's more that's a little different. Cane is like someone that's really dependable, that's always going to be there for you.
Yeah, but he's underrated at the same time because you don't know how good he is.
A little bit,
because he makes other people look good.
But my definition of underrated is something that is actually like super awesome that should be top billing. That like you get a lot out of, but you just never think of.
I mean, it's tough to think of if there's just one instrument, because for in my head, I was the first thing that popped in my head was like for some reason the piano, and I was like, yeah, because everyone takes the piano and it's never purely as hard rocking and stuff like that. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, Sarah Bareilles is pretty awesome, and then yeah, Alicia Keys can rock the piano, and then there's always like Chopin or Beethoven.
Chopin.
You mean, I don't know how...
Chopin.
Chopin!
That reminds Chopin? Me of, like, remember that infomercial about the guy who, like, sliced and diced the fruit and stuff?
What's
his name? His name was, like, Vince, and then he got in trouble.
I don't remember.
With the police. But do you know what was that?
Trivial.
Chop Master or whatever?
The Chop. Slap Chop.
Slap Chop. But you were like, Chopin!
I don't know how that go. Oh, yeah, okay, I guess.
That's how my mind worked, though.
I mean, probably... I mean,
but Chopin is, like, the most underrated.
No, I was just trying to think of, like, what if instruments that are underrated, like, stuff that... Because, like, with the piano, you learn the piano.
Okay, so your answer is the piano.
I would say either the piano or the bass. Probably the drummer. Probably drums.
You can't pick three.
But it's tough to see. Like, I'm going to say the first thing that popped in my head was the piano. Because essentially...
Okay, well, then pick the piano.
I'll say the piano is probably the most underrated of all instruments. Of all time, Al. Of all time.
That wasn't for Al. That was for me.
Oh, for Carolyn. Of all time. I'll just call Al out anyway. Of all time. Call back. All
right.
Because that's, you know... Should I give my reasoning, or am I just going to say my answer?
Give your reasoning.
Because I can't just...
You said because of Chopin.
No, I didn't say because of Chopin. I was listening...
I just like saying Chopin.
What if that's the proper way of saying that?
I thought it was Chopin.
How do you spell it?
It's a Chopin, right?
How do you pronounce that? Chopin. Where do you find Chopin? There's not A-N at the end like that.
I don't know. I
just
heard like intellectual people pronounce it. You know, like whenever you
listen... Oh, intellectual people now.
You know, to those types of radio stations, and then they're like, that was 1871 Chopin.
I was like, you know, I was like hanging out like at an after party.
I don't even know when he was alive.
A couple summers ago, I was hanging out at an after party of a feature film, and you know, I guess no one really knew. I guess people knew I was into comics or something like that. Excuse me, but I'm always so amused by the way that people pronounce names. Like, intellectuals will pronounce names. Like, they were talking about like somehow Watchmen came in there, and then that got into like Frank Miller. But the way that this person was saying Frank Miller, and the way that they would soothe that, like, oh yeah, because you know Frank Millar. Like, whenever they, Frank Millar. I was like, wait a minute, this isn't Mark Millar, the Kick-Ass, this is Frank Miller. Millar. You know, when Frank Millar
I've
that.
Also heard, like, this whole argument.
It's
like,
manga.
And it's seriously,
manga.
Like, an argument of, like, people, I've always thought it was Tim Sale. But
Tim
recently,
Sally.
A whole bunch of people are like, no, it's Tim Sally.
It's Tim Sally, bitch.
Tim Saleh.
Like you got, as, you like lost as, all your credibility now.
Like as if the E has like a little dash.
Saleh. It's like, but for one thing, it's like, how am I supposed to know? Don't get pissed off of me.
I don't know. I've never heard, like, I have no idea.
I love.
I would actually like to just straight up ask him.
I think I called him Tim Sale to his face, but.
Was he like, excuse me, no, it's Saleh.
Saleh. Like mayonnaise? Like, you know, Saleh's beauty salon?
But I heard one person was like, he gets really mad if you call him Sale. And I'm like, what? Like, I've always
Tim Sale. And then you're like, here's $100, draw something. But like, there's always those, like, when Sarah Michelle Gellar, like I like pronounced it, all of a sudden changed to Galar. And I was like, what? What, you change it? No, it's Galar. Frank Mueller.
Mueller?
Frank Millar.
So did these you ever names. Say why the piano was that, underrated or what?
What, the instrument of the piano? Why it's underrated?
Yeah, did you ever say actually why?
I don't know,
you just went on this spiel about pronunciations.
I think...
Because of Chopin.
Chopin? Chopin. What's Chopin? Beethoven. It's not CM Punk, it's CM Punk. So why is the piano underrated?
Yeah, that was my question.
I think because for one thing, they've tried to strip the coolness out of the piano. Like growing up, I feel like when people are like, you want to learn the piano? I'm like, no, the piano. It's like you see like your teachers play piano and, you know, makes it looks like super like uncool. But like the piano is a crucial instrument, man. That's rhythm and that's... I feel like it lost its, or it's always sort of growing up. It doesn't feel like as a rock or as a cool thing to be playing, but there's certain musicians that make that shit look so hot. You know what I mean? And I feel like with that, it's coming back, but it's not to the point where like these days people want to be a DJ as opposed to be a guitarist, you know, or do anything like that. They want to remix other people's shit. And scratch on top of it, or let the titties bounce, or something like that. But like, yeah, the piano is it's a critical instrument. You can play any song on the piano, you can write any song on the piano. You have bass and you have lead at the same time. And I always wondered, like back in the day, when you see these Beethoven songs or those Chopin songs, even you listen to those, you always wonder how the hell do you play that.
That's
you
how can't do gonna, that on a that's DJ. That's how they're gonna remix it. Like they're gonna be like,
listen to some of this Chopin, Chopin.
Yeah, they're gonna just call him Chopin and then like DJ him up.
DJ him up.
Butcher him up. DJ Chopin.
That's mainly what's gonna happen, man.
Have you seen those like tribute CDs at Best Buy? It's not even by the original artist, but then it'll say something like, a bluegrass tribute to Vince Gill.
It has like all these people like,
who are you? And it's like all these like randoms.
Yeah, what's up with that? Covers.
It's like,
but sorry, covers are cool.
I don't know. No, but it's like, it's just kind of strange because I'm like,
Chopin.
Tribute.
I swear that's how you pronounce it. That's how Carlos pronounced it.
He pronounced Chopin.
What's the Carlos? Carlos can say it all cool because he's a Mr. Smooth. Like, yeah, man, come on.
I want to, like, go to an official source for that.
Chopin.
Just Carlos.
Chopin. Chopin.
Yeah, but Carlos said it. It's like, he's the only one that can get away with something like that.
Go back.
Not everyone can just go walking around being like, yeah, I listen to Chopin.
Go back, viewers, and listen to Carlos Almonte's episodes, and you'll hear the voice we're talking about.
What was,
Yes, the piano is underrated, damn it.
All right, so here's from our listener... mail.
Viewer mail.
I don't know how they can view us, but it's our listener mail.
Listener mail. Live.
So, I'm just gonna, like, mess with Al because he's funny like that. He writes, do you still need a question? Parentheses. No, that is not the question I want to hear answered on the podcast. I thought that was funny. Okay.
So, the question is, do we still need a question?
Yeah, and then he says, no, that is not the question I want to hear on the podcast. Anyway,
this is a situation that always brings it up. Like whenever I'm writing anything, I'm assuming this turned out online. This question was brought up online, or he wrote that online, not in person. He wrote like it was a conversation.
Well, that's usually how he writes most of the stuff, but I just like to read him.
But does that always? But when people do that, when I see first of all, when I see people post stuff like that on like anywhere where you, or they're like, ha ha ha, oh wait a minute, like when you write message like, let me think, and they correct themselves like in as part of the writing, you know what I mean?
It's kind of like you get like, it's like what? It's like the second part of their brain that's like talking to them too.
But it's like when I listen to that, or not listen, but when I read that, I'm just like, wait a minute, don't you know there's a delete button on this thing? You can go back and like you don't need to tell me.
No,
I'm not saying I'm not saying Al in general. I'm saying when I see that online, that always freaks me out, man. Because I'm just like, wait a minute, whoa. Are you like, having a conversation like?
Or like when you see blogs that
wait,
use,
that's not
like,
what I meant. I meant to say this.
They use the cross out part.
Yeah,
like they'll be like, and then oh, cross that all out and then rewrite it. And yeah, I'm like, you like, could have just like crossed it out or deleted it. So, but I think they do it just like for fun.
No,
like,
they do it. They do it to look cool. Come on, let's be serious.
I guess
about
Al's
that.
Trying to be like cool like that.
But we're not saying it's Al. We're just saying it's the internet.
Anyway,
that always freaked me out. Carol, you ever? I've seen that all the time, man.
So, do you still need a question?
Do I?
Yeah, that's what he's asking. No, just kidding. Okay, he writes. How about a great writer, Ray Bradbury, recently passed away? Who are some of your favorite writers and stories?
Some of my favorite writers and stories?
Yes.
Well, let's break. Is it for me or for you?
It's for anybody.
Well, we can start with you, then we can talk. Start with you, then we can go to me.
Well, Al.
So, Carolyn.
Thank you for the question.
I'll ask the question. What are some of your favorite writers and stories? Amen.
Hi, Al. Thanks for the question. You always bring such entertaining thoughts to this podcast.
You should answer it like the Miss America or Miss Universe question. my favorite writers and
my favorite writer
and stories.
Chopin. okay, well, I really like Gene Shepard. And you may know him as probably most famously as the writer of A Christmas Story, which ended up also being a movie. And, like, you know, that one that's like, you'll shoot your eye out. So, I think that Gene Shepard's, like, pretty awesome as a storyteller. Because I've listened to his old radio shows, and apparently he was on several years ago. I actually found out about him from my dad. And, like, it was so true about him talking about listening to the radio when he was really young and keeping the sound low and hidden under his covers and under his pillow as he would go to bed. You know, like, all the parents would be like, turn everything off, you're going to bed. And then here he's sitting up late at night listening to Gene Shepard, which is awesome because I love, like, all the old-time radio shows. And basically, I think that he has, like, a genius brand of hilarity in his radio entertainment. So I would say my favorite writer in those terms and very inspirational is Gene Shepard.
Wait, was that the question? What is your favorite, like, of all time?
I don't know how technical you want to be with it.
No, was that the question that he asked?
I don't think he said of all time. Do you want me to reread it for you?
Sure. Sure. Clarification.
All right. He asks, who are some of your favorite writers and stories?
Oh, okay.
You're still thinking of an answer, right?
No, I'm not. I was like, oh, is it gotta be one, or you gotta say multiple?
I think he's just asking in general. I don't think it has to be like written in stone.
Everything has to be written in stone. This is live.
What if I change my mind like 5 years from now?
5 years from now?
Yeah.
Is it changing your mind or is it growing?
Yeah. What if that happens?
What if your mind grew?
What if I have a different writer that I like?
I don't know what would happen. You're allowed to change your opinion every single day.
Yeah, so
every day is new.
At this particular moment, I would say that Gene Shepard as a storyteller is pretty interesting. I like it. So who's your favorite, Joe?
I don't know if I have an exact favorite. I always go back to David Lapham being a huge influence on just the way I look at storytelling. I'm a huge fan of... Let's see. Let's bring it back to the youth. What are the stories I enjoyed when I was younger?
I mean, I guess if you have to go down that far, I think everyone should say Walt Disney, even though he didn't like write some of those stories.
I would not say Walt Disney. For me, I would not say Walt Disney.
But were you like a big Walt Disney like person?
No, I was not.
Because I feel like a lot of people that are into like comics and animation and stuff, Like, if you look back on their childhood, they're just like, oh, like, I love Walt Disney. I want to work at Walt Disney. I feel like everybody has said that, or at least entertained that thought.
I have never said that.
Have you entertained the thought?
I've never entertained the thought. I enjoyed their shows. I enjoyed Goof Troop a whole lot. I enjoyed Tailspin. I enjoy, like, yeah, whatever the afternoon cartoons that they had on over here, Channel 20 or whatever.
Because we were also, if you want to get, like, super technical, we were both more of, like, WB fans.
But when we were talking about things that you wanted to do, for me, my all-time favorite comes down to Batman the Animated Series. Hands down. Without that, I would not be the person who I am. Like, seriously.
So also as a writer, seriously. I will also say,
as a writer, Paul seriously.
Dini. Paul Dini.
As a writer, yeah, Paul Dini is a major influence on that.
Or Dini. Now, if you want to get down on the pronunciation,
Dini. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Dini. Even though
Dini is that no, gonna be his?
You know what?
Dini? How are we separating?
When I first
this?
Heard his name, I thought it was Dini
or Dini.
No, and then I talked to Raphael in person, and he's worked close with those people before, and he said Paul Dini.
Dini?
Yeah.
Paul Dini or yeah. Dini? Paul Dini?
See, now I'm getting a little bit confused because you're throwing a whole bunch at me.
I'm not throwing a whole bunch at you. there's two that I'm saying. Is it Dini or Dini? Is that what you're saying? Like, D-E-N-I or Dini? Dini? Dini. Which one's the one you're making? Which one's the
it's
one you're using?
It's kind of like if you look at a word.
I say Paul Dini. Just the quickest one I say is Paul Dini.
And I think it's Dini.
Fine, that's cool.
Like, technically.
Fine,
you
technically.
To meet him. Same thing with, like, okay, for example, Paul Feig,
yeah.
Which is actually Paul Feig.
Yeah.
Okay, I will count him in my writers.
Feig?
Yes, Paul Feig.
Yes.
Which I always pronounce as Paul Feig, but I learned in the past couple of years that it's Paul Feig.
What was the question again? What was our favorite
Paul
stories?
Feig. See, now I'm like all with stories? This pronunciation thing. What is up with that?
I don't know. Bruce Timm has two M's, right?
Yeah, but I never had a problem pronunciating that.
But is there like a, do you ever say it a shorter amount of time?
Bruce Timm?
You know what always messes me up?
Now I'm getting crazy.
Is it Mila Jovovich or Mia Jovovich? It's all these different
what
ones.
What about Scarlett Johansson and Scarlett Johansson?
Johannesburg. it's a whole bunch of different...
It just depends, like, how Frenchy you want to be with
how
it.
How Frenchy you want to get with it?
Yeah, like, if
what
you want to just be,
Frenchy?
Like, basic with it, you're just like, Paul Dini. But then if you want to be all, like, Frenchy with it, it's like,
yeah.
Paul Dini.
What?
Which I actually think is, like, the real pronunciation.
But, yeah, he's actually a massive influence on me. I remember...
I don't even know if that's French or whatever.
It doesn't matter. But, yeah, like, even, yeah, like, way back in the day, like, just those of the Batman Animated Series stories... In general, like, I was, like, they really influenced me, like, from the day, like, that's the type of stories I wanted to tell, that same, I didn't know it back then, but that was film noir structure. I didn't know, like, that's where, you know, that's where it all basically, you know, came and was structured from, but Batman Animated Series, that was just such an accepted, you know, when it's, you feel like when you're young, you're just going through and you're looking at things, like, at the beginning, I was like, Ninja Turtles, that was great. And that branched off into something else. But something really clicked with me when it got to Batman the Animated Series, where I was like, this is exactly what I need. And just like everything else in my life, people are like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. What is so great about this? You know what I mean? Just growing up, people didn't really seem to understand. Like, I was like, yeah, look, it's dark and it's cool. And it you know, it's told seriously. It's not cartoony. And I think that might have been the thing... Like we were just talking about before, where you're like, oh, once every time everyone wanted to work for Disney. And I was like, I never got past the singing part in Disney. It only took me to like probably 3 years ago for me to accept musicals into my life.
You were like on the dark side for a while.
I don't know if it was on the dark side, but I guess I just needed a little bit more dark, like a little bit more menace to it. You know what I mean? Because like... You know, I'm like the younger child, so I guess it's already second layer of like, oh, look, the kid stuff. And then I'm already at that point of like, oh, what else do we got?
So being a second child, I actually want to ask you more about that.
Sure.
Because I never got to experience that.
Yeah.
Do you, and also since you, your other sibling was also of the male specimens. So like, did you always get like his throw me down, like clothes and all that? Or did you always feel like you're second fiddle?
I believe probably there's a certain time where I probably, like in the elementary school era, where I got the hand-me-downs. But I believe probably around the time where I really got into, again, Batman. Because that coincides with the time I really got into comics.
And you're like, I'm a real person now. I can pick stuff that I want.
I'm a real boy.
Yeah.
I think of that also.
That's when you discovered yourself.
I feel like, honestly, I've always had, I guess I've always been sort of like picky with what I wear. And then looking at that now, seeing the stuff I wore in high school was ridiculous because it was just like, oh, look, comic book shirt and jeans. I was like, how picky can I get? You know, this comic book shirt and jeans.
No, it has to be this certain comic book shirt.
Oh, look, we're in Spawn and we're in Batman or something like that.
I remember you'd always wear like your Death shirt.
Death? Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, that was a big influence on me too. Again, it's another situation where people didn't know what the hell I was talking about. They're like, they would read it.
They'd be this guy wants to commit suicide now.
You get what everyone else gets. You get a lifetime, and they read that, and I'm like, it's a comic book. And like, oh, comic books? You read that shit?
I mean, everyone thought you were, like, suicidal just by wearing that shirt.
They probably. I don't know. It's a thing where, like, you know, people didn't read the book, so they don't get it. You know what I mean? And it's... Death, again, is also one of my favorite stories that people should definitely check out. So go out there and check out the first one. The second one, it's all drawn by Chris Batchelor. At least the several of them are drawn by Chris Batchelor. I bet the first and the second. Trying to remember what the third one was. I'm not quite sure if I remember. Chris Batchelor. Love that guy's artwork. That guy is underrated. Chris Batchelor
does
not.
He's not a musical instrument, though.
He's not. But that guy's underrated. He doesn't get enough props as everyone else gets. I don't know why. That guy was amazing. Still is amazing. You talk about a guy that can combine, like, freaking mecha and cartoon quirkiness and just awesome graphicness. Just blam, Chris Batchelor. What was I talking about? Batman. So yeah, like Batman. See, that's what happens. That's why how that was so influential on me, because at that point it was like, not because that was such an influence on me where I started choosing the colors that they even had in the show would be what I wear. So of course it'd be like dark. I was like, okay, cool. It wasn't just me being goth. It was me being like Batman.
Do you categorize yourself at a certain time period as goth?
No, I never did.
Okay.
I never did. Even though I had goth friends, I just, in my head, I was like, I'm not goth. What am I?
You just straddled the line of it, but you didn't go all the way over.
I never really understood, because I guess I was associated with goth and stuff like that, with like depression and then people doing suicide and shit. And I never liked that.
They were like, oh, Kurt Cobain died. I want to die with him.
But I don't know if I was ever counted as goth. But I wore black. But that's just because
it was a dark time of your life.
No, it was probably because it was more slimming in general. Because I wasn't really in the best shape at that time. The black was always just like black and then jeans. You wouldn't, you know, that was like neutral.
So you're trying to hide your body shape with black?
It was probably because also I wore a lot of flannels. Back then, I guess, you know, it was like the early 90s, mid 90s. I don't know. I just liked flannels in that era. Like, it was either red and black or blue and those. And it's also like, what else
like
can you...
Like Clark Kent.
It was literally like that. It was literally like that, except it had sort of that... I had long hair and jeans, so there sort of had that weird, like, I guess, grunginess to it. You know, grunge was in that near that time. And I feel like... That fits so perfect. A flannel blue jeans, cuffed, and black shoes, long hair. I even had an undercut back then. Still, it fit perfect with a comic book shirt. And if you think about it, now that I think about it now, a lot of my style, I look at it now, and I don't know if this really makes sense, if this coincides, but a lot of my style most likely looked like it was ripped off of what's his face? David and Darlene from Roseanne, from how they dressed. If I look at it now, I feel like that's exactly what my style was. That's exactly what that was. I don't know how to describe it. But I feel like if you look at that from that era, because they made comics. They were a couple that made comics. So like, maybe that's what it maybe that's where I got that. I was like, okay, that should be how I dress, you know? So I was just ripping them off and then making it.
But you didn't know that you were like doing that directly.
I don't know. I just thought,
only looking back on
it. I mean, everyone looks at some sort of fashion and feels like, hey, I like that. Like, you know, like today people like pinups and, you know, whatever's on. People like, even like, you know, like younger girls or girls who want to feel like they're young, they have the white shirts or the shirts, the longer, thinner shirts that now like go over their butt and stuff like that. You know what I'm
like
talking about?
Like a long tank top?
Yeah, like a long tank.
But it's layered. They wear like 3 or 4 tank tops.
Yeah, and they have like a shorter, yeah, like so that one shirt goes over their butt and then they have like a shirt or like a coat that goes over it, that goes over that, except that the butt part is still hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? That's like the same thing. We're wearing oversized shirts back in the day too. They just weren't form fitting. Now everything's more form fitting, whether you're fat or not. You know, that's just how it goes. So yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a lot of my stuff was influenced
so
by that.
So back to like being the second born child or the last born child, like what were things that you thought like compared to other kids that you knew? Things that you thought were you got like shafted on.
Sorry, America. That I got shafted on?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like by being second born. Like do you think you always got like second treatment, like you're second class citizen type thing?
Yeah, I feel like I had that like the whole entire time because anytime like
even in high school, even once you formed your identity
based around
Batman.
Think about this. Well, that's the thing. No one paid attention to me because of that. I felt like people paid less attention to what I was doing, and I still feel like...
You think people paid more attention to your older brother?
Most likely.
But why?
My assumption is he was probably more louder or brassier and, you know, probably got like in more trouble or was just more noticeable because he's also bigger and stuff like that. And it starts to play on your mind a little bit when, like, majority of what you hear is like, oh, look, that's Peter's brother. There's his brother, blah, blah, blah. Where's your brother? Constantly. Where's your brother? Where's this? Where's he going? You know, even in clearest day when he's in there. Oh, look, that. So no one's talking about me. Everyone's talking about someone else to get to me. So I'm like, I felt like I'm a step.
He always needs that attention, though. Like, even now, like, he's loud and bigger.
And like, you know, like. That of course is always going to influence, you know, the way that like I perceive things.
But even with toys, did you always get his toys? Like, how did that work out?
I didn't really get his toys, but he would take my toys. Like he would use my game system, you know, because it was more or less a situation of getting different things. But then he would realize like, oh, like that's cool too.
Like it's all mine.
Yeah, like he'd be like, that's all mine now, and I'm like, no, it's not, you know, and that's. Again, that's how you influence.
I can see it being more difficult if you have like two boys.
You know,
if it was like a boy and a girl or something, like you both have your own kind of separate thing. Not to like generalize that Barbie's only for girls. And
I mean,
like,
that's part of being
G.I. Joe's only for boys. Because I played with my brothers G.I. Joe's too. Like we just played with everything.
You know, and that's what became like the great part, the great thing about this is that I feel like my brother really had no intention of doing anything or enjoying anything artistic or creative. And I think for me, I mean, that's where I enjoy the most imagination and, you know, just, you know, different worlds and reading and comics and stuff like that. And I guess slowly I just weeded out all like the and playing music and stuff like that. None of those things were interested.
Yeah.
He was
so
interested
basically
in.
You picked up like the opposite of what he'd be into because he was like really into sports and like also but he did teach you a lot about the computers.
Well, he was into sports. But he wasn't great into playing him. But I was into sports, but I was fucking awesome. So it's not it's a weird conglomerate how things played.
I think it's funny that he did gymnastics. I was like, what? Gymnastics.
Yeah. Did hockey as well.
It's like he played basically every sport, or at least tried it out.
But see, I felt like I can do any sport. But in my mind, it wasn't like a sport. Systematically, I almost felt like I got bored with it. Where I was just like, I want to do... It wasn't as, like, fulfilling, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean I was bad. Like, I felt like I was pretty solid enough. If I kept on wanting to do it, I would have been pretty...
You liked it, but it just wasn't your official calling.
It wasn't like my calling at all. Because, like, you know, you'd wake up... usually when people wake up and it's time to play the game, like whatever game they're doing, they're usually like excited, like, oh yeah, it's time, let's get pumped up. And it first started out like that for me, you know. And then I guess the older I got into high school and it was time to play a game, and like in my head I was like, man, I don't really feel like playing a game. I would literally go from a comic book store, buy my comics, then go to the game and not really care about, you know what I mean? There's, you can see the times, you know, and then, you know, that's just what happens.
When your parents dropped you off at the comic book store when you were younger, did they go in a few or they just like wait outside or
something? I never wanted them to come in there.
They're just, were you just like stay outside?
Yes.
So would they just like,
that was my world. Was my world.
Would they literally like stay outside, like right outside the window?
No.
Or would they go wait in the car or something?
They wouldn't go in. I didn't want them to come in. I mean, sometimes they'd wait in the car. But like, no, like I felt like that's my zone. That's like, I really took that as like, this is our territory. If you don't get it, stay out. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like how some people,
so you'd have them like drive you there, but then you're like, no, you can't come in with me.
Yeah.
You gotta stay in the car.
Because because that's the comic book stores were also like your hideout. You'd hang and talk to people there about stuff like that. And
so did they just like drop you off for like an hour and then they pick you up later?
Yeah. Or they'd go somewhere else in the mall, or, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
That was in the time of another universe too.
Yeah, they had, that
so
was
you
there.
You could go in the mall.
Yeah, so you can go in the mall and I'll just go and just hang out there for like hours and look at all the stuff they had. And even before that, we had like the other comic book store around here. It was just called Books.
I remember the sign just said Books.
It just said Books, and they had comics there. You know, I'd go there as well. You know, it didn't feel right to have like your parents go in there and do what? They just stand there and just be like, all right, time to go. I'm like, get the hell out of here. I don't want you. You know, personally, I didn't want anyone there. You know, it's a sort of like that special moment of how it plays.
Okay, we have another question from listener mail.
Great.
This one is from Gene Green. He's from the Mocha Podcast, for those of you that listen to that.
Oh, we should have started with Gene's first, then.
All right. Should we save it or do it now?
Let's do it now.
I'm just teasing. Okay, I got a question. If you had to eat one candy bar as your only meal every day, what would it be?
Please, Twix.
All right, that's your answer. And then mine is
candy bar, right? Not just candy.
He wrote candy bar, so all in right. My eyes, that's specifically like chocolate based usually.
Yeah.
I do enjoy like the more fruity like type of candy, but yeah, since he's specifically saying candy bar, I have to say take five. Yes,
I'll describe this take five.
Okay, take five. Okay, it's chocolate bar with, let me name the try to name the five ingredients. I think there's peanut butter in it, nugget, caramel.
Are you looking on your touch?
No, I'm not. Maybe like regular peanuts. And then the thing that really makes it so good is pretzels. It's like the mixture of salty and sweet. I remember I discovered it a few years ago.
Oh, yeah?
I might have had it beforehand, but maybe never knew about it. But I discovered it maybe like 5 years ago, and I was like, man, this is amazing. It's just like, take five, man. Totally rocking out on the candy bar with take five. And now I want to actually look it up because I need to know what is inside it. And I'm typing it in my touch right now. Take five candy bar. Here we go. Let's find the history about it. Okay, it's made by Hershey's. Take five.
Find it out, man. Find it out.
All right. There it is. The Luscious Take 5. If you go to Wikipedia, it has a picture of a bar broken in two, so you can see the inside. It's known as Max 5 in Canada, but it's now discontinued. What?
Known as what?
Max 5 in Canada.
Max 5?
Yeah. It's a pretzel, caramel, peanut, and peanut butter-filled milk chocolate candy bar. Released by the Hershey's Company in December 2004.
Nice.
So that's a pretty recent candy bar, if you think about it, because it feels like all these other candy bars have been around for ages.
Yeah.
Like 50 years or something. This is actually came out in December 2004. So this wasn't even actually around in like our childhood. This wasn't even around when we were like trick-or-treating, which is probably makes sense now, because I'm like, I never remembered it back in the day.
Yeah.
Like I said 5 years ago, so it's around that time. Okay, so the number five refers to the name of combination of the five ingredients: milk, chocolate, peanuts, caramel, peanut butter, and pretzels. Oh my gosh, due to its popularity, the Hershey's Company produced several variations on the original candy. One is chocolate cookie. Substitute the chocolate cookie to replace the pretzel. Oh, that's horrible because, like, you know, the whole thing for me is the pretzel. How can you just substitute? I can't replace the pretzel. Okay, marshmallow limited edition substitutes the marshmallow cream to represent the caramel. I don't know if that sounds as good. And then there's also the peanut butter. Has a peanut butter coating instead of milk chocolate. That might be interesting, actually, out of the three so far. That sounds pretty good. And then there's white chocolate. Has a white chocolate coating instead of milk chocolate. I don't know. I guess out of those four of, like, the specialty limited edition, I'd have to pick the peanut butter one. But I don't know. I don't want to substitute the cookie for the pretzel. That sounds ridiculous because the pretzel's the bomb. The ice cream called Take 6. We need to try this. It's a spinoff of the regular Take 5. Oh my goodness. Six ingredients. Peanut butter, ice cream, peanuts, caramel, pretzels, milk, chocolate coating. That sounds like some crazy, like, Ben and Jerry's flavor.
Take 6?
Yeah, it's like all the same ingredients, including ice cream.
What?
It's amazing.
Where can we find this?
I don't know. I've never heard about it until just now, and I think we should try it, and I'm glad I looked it up.
Thank the touch.
But look at this. One serving, 210 calories. Ugh. That's, like, horrible. That right there is a half an hour of working out just to eat one of these. So I'm probably not going to eat it every day, Gene, but just so you know, like, Take 5 is my candy bar. So I learned something today. I learned all about the Take 6. Thank you, Gene, for making me look that up. I'm glad I did.
I mean, that's the whole reason that we have these questions, so we can learn.
We can learn from each other.
That's, like, the best. I'm trying to think if there's any other, like.
So yours is Twix, but why is it Twix? You never explain why.
Twix is freaking awesome.
Because Twix is for kids. Isn't that the
no? Because Twix, man, when you put that shit inside,
that's actually Twix. Yeah. Twix is wait. What
I said
are the
Twix.
Pronunciation
I said
of Twix.
Twix.
What, I know you did, but what about the other one that's for kids? The
tricks.
Tricks.
Yeah,
that's right.
But when you put Twix inside of a fridge after a while, caramel cookie crunch. Put that together. Oh, you know who's really. You know who's.
But I bet Take 5 actually tastes better if you put that in the refrigerator.
You know who's really good at describing, like, what is like what the insides, the dissection of candy bars?
Rob Spiewak.
Brian.
Oh, really?
Brian's really amazing. I'm like, man, why'd you get those Rolos, dude? And he's like, oh, man, come on. It's that caramel inside that caramel covered in cookie crunch cookie. I was like, what? The way he, like, salivates over the meal. It's so
I know
genius.
You didn't really listen to as much as I did Don and Mike's show.
Yeah.
They're, like, a local radio staple in our area.
Take 6.
But they each have their own radio shows now. So yeah. They kind of went their own separate ways. But basically, they have the, I guess it's like their producer was Rob Spiewak, and he ended up having his own show. I believe it was on the weekends, and it was all about just candy. Like, he knew, like, every little
That's
detail.
That's amazing. Just have a candy show.
Yes, he literally had a candy, like, talk radio show.
So was that Gene's question?
Yeah.
What's your favorite candy?
That you would eat every day.
That's right,
for the rest
ladies
of your
and gentlemen.
Life.
If we will answer any question, we will even answer that. That's how it goes.
That's a very legitimate.
I do like Sour Patch Kids a whole lot.
Is this on the fruity side?
Yeah, but he was talking about bar.
Yeah,
right?
He said candy bar.
He was talking about any, like, phallic looking.
Do you know what, though? They should make a candy bar that's fruity. They usually just have, like, the fruity ones are just, like,
they
you know,
do have
single
they do have candy bars that are fruity, but
like
they're called,
which?
Like, health bars.
That's different. That's not a candy bar. That's a health bar. But I'm talking about, like, but you know what? Those health bars, they aren't, like, they actually, sometimes I wonder how healthy they really are. It's like, sure, they have granola and raisins and, like, some nuts and stuff.
Yeah.
But then they're, like, coated with chocolate.
You gotta coat everything with chocolate. What else can you coat it with?
Why don't
White
they just
chocolate.
Have a regular granola?
That would be a granola bar.
Yeah, but, like, why are they all coated with chocolate on top of everything?
Because if you're thinking about it, that's what makes the whole entire bar. Coat it with chocolate.
Do you remember Kudos?
You just coat everything with chocolate.
Do you remember Kudos?
Kudos? I remember Kudos.
Yeah, everyone used to be like, those are healthy for you.
You talk about Kudos like they died or something like that. Kudos are still in fashion.
I haven't had them in a long time.
Can you imagine just making Kudos? It's like a long ass strip of just like what? Of a pretzel barrel filled with cheese. I bet that cheese is so bad for you too, man. None of that stuff is good. But when you're when you're falling in line at your Safeway or whatever, wherever you buy your Walgreens, not your Walgreens, wherever, they sell it everywhere. That candy is so cheap. Candy is so cheap, man. It's always like $1 for like 2 packs and stuff like that. It was amazing. I remember when you go to Walmart.
But if you buy it at like 7-Eleven, it's like $1 million for one little candy.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
At 7-Eleven, they jack those prices up.
Yeah, but they don't jack it up that much. Look how much the Slurpee is. How can you battle the Slurpee? It's like $1 or $2.
Why would you want to battle the Slurpee?
I remember when I was younger thinking that like that $1 and $2 was so much. I was like, man, I got to save up to get this white chocolate Hershey's bar, the cookies and cream.
Is that what you would save up for?
Because you'd be like, 98 cents. 97 cents.
So I need
97 cents.
Like in the terms of Brian Sarvis describing it, this is what Twix is. It's a chocolate bar made by Mars consisting of a biscuit finger chopped with caramel or topped with caramel and coated in milk chocolate.
A biscuit finger.
There's a layer of chocolate between the biscuit and the caramel.
Biscuit finger. So what are you eating there? Oh, you know, it's a caramel cookie crunch biscuit finger.
They're also Twix. Twix stands for twin sticks. Because they come in pairs.
I would have never thought that's what it's called.
Apparently in some European countries, it's called Raider.
Like Lost of the Lost Ark?
R-A-I-D-E-R.
Raider?
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Interesting.
So do you want to hear about your product variants?
Sure.
There's the Trix peanut butter.
I've had that.
The peanut butter replaces the caramel and the cookie is chocolate flavored. So how was that? Was that good for you?
Yes, it's amazing. Put that in the fridge, you're set for life.
There's also the Trix tea breaks introduced in the 80s, UK. Single bars in between the size of a standard bar and a miniature bar.
That's like all the candy that I eat, I just put right in the fridge. Tastes so good. Trix. Because candy when it's warm sucks.
See, this one they should not include, but I guess if you want to be technical, Trix miniatures. It's the same thing, but only smaller.
Is that the fun size?
Yeah. I get miniatures. I mean, how much more smaller can you get?
I remember, sometimes,
I don't understand why it says fun size during Halloween. I'm like, this is not the fun size.
You have it's fun like with a, it, man.
It's like a bite.
You throw it around.
It's, like, the worst one is the fun size Three Musketeers bite size. Have you seen that?
Those are bite size.
It's literally like it's the size literally of a bite. Thumbnail. It's a thumbnail.
It's a bite. How big do you think a bite is?
It's less than a bite.
Come on now.
There's also the cookies and cream tricks.
When you bite off of the actual bar, how much are you biting off?
More than that.
It's
that
a
little
bite.
Thing is like a stub. It's not even like the size of my toenail.
Are you crazy? When you bite off of a Snickers or a Three Musketeer, that's probably a good amount of size.
Well, it's pretty lame when you just get a little bite.
You're just
I
like,
want more.
You're just like, what are you doing? Don't hit the mic.
That was an accident. So have you had this cookies and cream Twix?
Yeah, I have. It's amazing. Hmm. Oh, they're all good. Put them in the fridge. They're good.
What
you're set for life.
What about chocolate fudge Twix?
It's good. Tastes good. Put it in your mouth.
What about triple chocolate?
What? How can you triple the chocolate?
It contains a chocolate buttered cookie and chocolate flavored caramel.
See, what's amazing is that I really don't like anything. Like, nothing chocolate anything. I don't give a flying fuck about that. But Twix is the magic part. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about Snickers, Milky Way, Three Musketeers. I don't really care about Take Five.
What? That has a pretzel in it.
Like I just said.
Sucka.
Like I just said, Twix is the only my only candy bar love is Twix.
What about the chalk and orange tricks?
Chalk and orange? What is that?
It doesn't describe it, but it just says 1992 and 1999 limited edition UK.
Limited edition candy.
There's also
what does that mean?
There's also the king size Twix. Bigger bar.
I mean, that's just probably
then
more
there's
of the same,
ice cream Twix bars.
That's probably just as good. Yes, I've had that too. Delicious. That's already been frozen.
What about chocolate ice cream Twix bars?
That's probably just as good.
Twix top.
Oh, you know,
a single rectangular biscuit bar introduced in multi-packs for supermarkets.
You know what's good? It's like those cookie ice cream cookie sandwiches that you get like at the gas station.
Yeah.
Those are good. I remember we were at Walmart and I was like, they had the picture of it. I was like, oh, that's going to be awesome. And they didn't have it.
There's also the Twix 100 calorie bars and the new Twix, 2000 to present.
The new Twix?
Mars changed the biscuit to a crunchier, less dense texture.
Where are you finding all this information on Twix?
Wikipedia. I bet Rob Spivak wrote this. Oh, what about Twix Mint? Have you had that?
I don't think I've had that.
That's only in UK. What about Orange?
UK exclusive.
Orange Twix, Poland, 2003, limited edition.
Wait, so you say every country has their own style of Twix?
Yes, white chocolate Woo-hoo! Twix, dark chocolate Twix, coffee Twix. That's in Asia. Twix pods, Australia. Round biscuit shells with caramel India. Inside.
Australia.
Twix slice mint, only in Australia.
This Twix keep going.
Oh
man.
My gosh, Ireland. Twix super thick shake. Twix Java. That was in the United States in 2008.
Nice.
Coffee flavored Twix.
Well, we're going to end the show on that. Go out there, everyone, and check out all those Twix. Thank you for tuning in.
Twix coconut. Have you had that?
Nice. I have had that. It's delicious. Put it in the fridge. Saves your life. That's right. This show has been produced by StrayProductions.com, sponsored by Curls-Studio.com. Don't forget to check out Carolyn's comic strip every Monday and Thursday, and just check out Stray Productions whenever you feel like it's great. It's great. Tastes great. Not as good as Twix, but maybe it could be better. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hey, catch you all next week.